Hello, this is Tool Belt Diva on Discovery Channel Radio. I'm your host, Norma Valley, the Tool Belt Diva herself. Do you have any lingering projects around the house that you just can't seem to get done? Well, I'm here to tell you, you don't have to wait anymore. Because with the right attitude and proper tools, you can do it yourself. And if you need some extra help, why don't you give me a call at 1-877-33-SIRIUS. That's S-I-R-I-U-S. And dial 135 for Discovery Channel Radio. And we have a caller on the line right now. Renee from Milford, Michigan.
Hi, Norma.
Hi. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing fine.
Where is Milford?
Actually, we're about 40 minutes northwest of Detroit.
And, you know, my mom is from Detroit originally.
Yeah.
Yep. So I have Detroit heritage somewhere down the line. Is that where you were born?
Yeah, actually, I was born here. My family actually was all from Alabama.
Okay.
Yeah. Been born, raised in Michigan. My husband and I have a home now in Kentucky, so we're trying to get this home ready to sell.
What made you go from Michigan to Kentucky?
I've never seen Mammoth Cave, and we eloped, and we've been married 3 years in August. And
wait a minute, I don't understand. Are you moving to Kentucky?
Yeah, when we retire in about 4 years.
All right.
And but the people down there are just terrific. They're real friendly and everything, so we just love it down there. And it's a little bit warmer than Michigan.
I was just going to say, I couldn't deal with, you know, those are some harsh winters.
Yeah.
Harsh.
Very harsh.
So tell me, you have some questions?
Well, one is I would love to have, you know, a book that you have written because you make everything so easy to understand.
You're so
and you make
sweet.
It fun.
You know, I believe that if you're not having fun, it's not worth doing. So I would love to send you a book. But the problem is it's not out on the market yet.
Well,
it's going to be. It'll be out. It'll be coming out in probably April of 2006. And the title it will be Chicks Can Fix.
Okay, I will be the first one on the list.
All right. You know, but in the meantime, there's a lot of great information out there. There's a lot of great series of books that you can do some research with, or you can go online and get information on any project that you'd like to get involved in. And you can ask me right now on the phone if you'd like. Do you have any questions on any projects coming up?
Yeah, I made an exercise room for myself, and I had used very thin mirrors, and I learned how to cut them.
Cut them with?
I went and bought the glass cutter, and where you score it, and snap it.
Mm-hmm. That's not an easy. That's not an easy thing to master.
It's very hard.
Yeah, it takes. It's not something like that. You're going to just use it, do one pass with it, and think, "Oh, this is going to be simple as pie."
Yeah, well, see, with that, there's no moving parts.
Right.
That's my problem. Is I have a problem with like circular saws. I bought one and I tried to use it. It kicked back and it scared me, so I haven't used it.
Well, so you're afraid of power tools now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so in the exercise room, rather than like tear it down, you know, like just hit it with a sledgehammer or something. You'd have glass flying all over the place.
Yeah, like that could be dangerous.
Yeah, and I'd like to take a reciprocating saw, cut above the mirrors, and take the whole wall out.
Okay, wait, hold on. I have to imagine a couple of things. First of all, how big is this wall that you're talking about? How much mirror
wall
is on there?
Two walls, and it goes up probably about 5.5 feet.
And how wide are the walls?
That wall's not too big. It's probably 8-9 feet long.
Each?
Yeah.
That's a lot of wall. And you mirrored that whole thing?
Yeah.
So you want it? Oh, okay. Yeah. And you want to take those mirrors out completely?
Yeah, and I glued the heck out of them.
Yeah.
You know, so
what's going to happen, really? First of all, you have to know that what you're looking to do is very dangerous, because those mirrors are going to crack, and they're going to be little tiny chars of glass everywhere. It's precarious. One thing immediately that you should consider doing is putting tape over all of the mirror.
Okay, didn't think of that.
Yeah, tape them all up. You'll go through a lot of tape because from what you've described, you got a lot of square footage of mirrors.
Yeah.
The thing is, especially that you just described to me, that you used a lot of adhesive. What's going to happen is when you try to pry those mirrors off, you're going to rip all of the drywall paper off with it. You see what I mean?
Right. That's what I was wondering, if we use a reciprocating saw and just cut the wall and then just take the whole thing out as a unit.
Right. So you're thinking about taking the whole wall down.
Right, because it doesn't go all the way to the top. There's still like a 2-foot border on the top that's not mirror.
I don't know if I'd put a reciprocating saw to that. I think that you'd be better off using a... It's on drywall, right?
Yeah.
Okay. The first thing that you should do is find your studs outside, you know, on the exterior of where the mirrors are.
Okay.
Can you, or is it all the way to each corner?
Yeah, I did it from the doorway to the corner, and then from the corner to the second wall. I only did the two walls.
And it is literally wall to wall. What I'm asking is there any place for you to stick a tool in to get to the stud where there isn't mirror?
Matter of fact, there is kind of like in the middle of it, because I also put a exercise beam in it.
Okay. Yeah. Well, if you want to cut down the section, that particular section of the wall without taking the whole wall down, you see what I mean? You want to do a section of it.
Right.
You're going to want to cut the drywall away from the at the side of where the stud is. Do you see what I mean?
Okay, yeah, and not cut through the stud.
And not, you don't want to start cutting through your studs.
Yeah.
Okay, so once you make a clean, you know, cut the length of your wall along the stud, then you can start to try to cut with a handsaw, like a drywall saw, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then prying it, get like a pry bar behind, and do you know if you don't...
Oh,
did
I
you, first of all, did
what
you,
you're saying,
yeah.
Yeah,
and then pry it off the stud. You see what I mean?
Yeah, and then it would still come down like in a sheet without...
Exactly. So you'd be cutting a hole, you'd be cutting like the sides, right?
Right.
And then cutting the top and bottom, and then prying away from the stud. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
If you took a reciprocating saw to that, it would be really dangerous. There would be drywall dust shooting everywhere. The vibrations would, you know, be breaking. A reciprocating saw is a very... It's also... A lot of people know it as a sawzall.
Okay.
It's a very powerful saw. You probably have to be using it on a ladder, right?
Right, yeah.
Which is, you know, when you're using a saw like that, you want to be very secure in your footing. You don't want to lose your balance. You know what I mean? Would you be doing all this work yourself?
Well, my son, you know, he's home from Kuwait, so he'd be helping me.
Well, that's good.
You know, and probably I can rope in a few other kids.
Right on.
Between my husband and I, we have like 10 kids and 6 grandkids.
Right. So you got to get the whole gang in on this.
Oh, yeah.
This is a big project. Another thing that you might consider doing is like taking a piece of plywood and putting it over the mirror or something like that, so that when, you know, my concern is that this mirror is going to break. You understand?
Oh, I
it's going to crack, and it could be very dangerous.
Right.
So put on all your safety gear possible. You know, glasses, gloves, cover up. I mean, you know, you don't want any injuries from this.
Right.
But like I said, you know, the most important thing you want to do is find where your studs are and pry the wall away from the stud.
Yeah, and that's what I'm talking about. Like, I
in
had
big
no
sections.
Idea how to do it, and I knew that if I could talk to you, that you would, you know, be able to explain it to me where it made sense.
Does it make more sense?
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense.
Before you start cutting that, why don't you first try and see how a couple of those mirrors come off? Are they like 12 by 12 mirrors?
Yeah. Like mirror tiles.
Why don't you see? You know, try a couple and see how hard it is. If it's just tearing all the drywall paper off, yeah, you might have to remove it because you'd have to repair all that. You know, once you get the mirrors, what are your walls going to look like when you're done? What do you think you want to do afterwards?
Oh, afterwards, I'm just going to, like replaster them and, fill them in like I did on this in the other bedroom, and then paint it.
Right. Well, if you do get to the point where you have to remove that a section of the wall,
mm-hmm.
Use a long pry bar, like a 4-foot pry bar, to get in there and to pry away.
Yeah, and that would give me the leverage.
Exactly.
Okay.
And the reach.
Yeah, because I'm not exactly real tall.
Right. Well, that's when you get your tall grandson in there. Do you have any other questions, Renee?
No, not right offhand, but, I'm just so thrilled that you, could talk to me and explain how to do it safely, and I think your idea is a lot better than mine. You know, it's the only thing I could come up with, and I've been racking my brains for a long time trying to figure out how to get the mirrors off.
Right. Yeah.
Well, I really appreciate it.
It's my pleasure, and please, the most important thing is to keep it safe. Because those mirrors, they'll cut you up. And, that's the last thing you want to happen is to get injured while you're doing a home improvement project. Because like we said in the very beginning, is we want to be having fun.
Yeah.
And a trip to the emergency room is no fun at all.
Nope.
All right, Renee, thank you so much for letting me speak with you and spending this time. And, folks, if you're looking to cut into your wall for whatever the reason is, make sure you know where your electric lines are running, water, gas lines. Just be aware of that. And especially today, there's no excuse not to, because we should all have X-ray vision. Kidding. No, really, what is out there are stud finders that actually detect running electricity, metal, water, etc. So there's really no excuse today not to know what's going on behind your walls.
My favorite accessory. I've always wanted one since I was a little girl, so I treated myself. It screams empowerment. I'm talking totally huge. The shine, the sparkle, the razzle-dazzle. Of course it goes with my favorite belts. And it could drive a 4-inch screw like a knife through butter, baby.
Tool Belt Diva, Friday at 9 and Sunday at 8:30.
Only on Discovery Home Channel.
I'm sitting here in the studio, and Dave, the engineer here in the studio, is like, Norma, I got this hole in my ceiling. What should I do about it? So tell me what happened. You have a big hole in your ceiling?
Yeah, well, it's not too big. It's about the size of a football.
Okay.
And what happened was I moved into an apartment. I have this huge couch, and it's heavy. So the movers came up the stairs, and they couldn't get it in. They were trying to turn it, twist it. It was making noise. Almost broke the door. So they said, well, can you sign this? Because we're not going to be able to get it in without breaking something. I said, well, all right, maybe they'll break the door. Or maybe they'll scratch, scuff the couch. But what happened was, what happened was they pushed. It got in, but it put a hole in the ceiling because the edge of the couch crashed into the ceiling.
Okay.
And they said, oops.
Yeah, oops. Meanwhile, first lesson, never sign a waiver like that. I mean, what would they have done?
They probably would have left the couch on the front lawn.
Oh, was it raining?
No.
I don't know. That was, all right, listen, it could be worse, right?
Yeah.
So you have a hole in your ceiling. It's about the size of a football. First thing that you should do is you should, stick a... Can you access that from above?
There is an attic, but it's a floored attic. It could almost be a room if it was air conditioned. It's
okay.
Nice. And
all
there's
right.
So much stuff up there. It's for storage.
So if it was unfinished, you could always attack it from above, All right, but that's not the case for you. So you want to get a flashlight. You want to stick your hand in there and see if there's a stud near it, a joist, I should say, right near it. Because if there is, you have something already there that you can nail into. Because I'm gonna tell you an old school way to do this repair. Okay, is a hole that big, you just can't throw some joint compound in it and patch it up like that. You can't do it. So you're gonna have to get a patch with another piece of drywall. So you're gonna need to screw it to something. How are you going to, what are you going to screw it to, right? So if there's already, if you put your hand in there and you feel around and you're near a joist, you're going to take a, you need a sheetrock knife. You're going to cut out a, an even dimension.
Like a square?
A square,
okay.
Right? Or if it's rectangular, you know, go with what's already there. Whatever. If it's like a football, you might want to cut out a rectangle. And if you're right near a joist, you're going to want to cut along the edge of that joist and expose enough of that joist so that you can screw your new patch into that. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
All right. And if there's not, and you're going to, you would need to do this on the other side anyway, you would take a piece of wood, a one-by material, and make like a brace. Screw a brace in so that you're going to have that brace extend over the length of the length of the hole, and pass it by about, you know, an inch or two, so that you can screw into that. You understand? Can you picture that?
Yeah, it's almost like two pieces of wood, like a railroad track.
Exactly.
And you screw the piece to the
exactly
railroad track.
So now you have your dimensions. So you're gonna screw up into, you know, your brace or your joist or whatever it is, and then you're gonna need to tape your seams, and then you're gonna need to plaster. So once you use joint compound, and that is your ceiling smooth? Or is
it's
popcorn?
It's got a kind of a rough texture to it.
You're gonna.
It's not popcorn, but it's not, you know, baby.
It's probably sanded, or it's got something like that in it. The more texture, the easier it is to patch, to that you won't notice it. You know what I mean? I think that initially you're going to be very, very frustrated by trying to get the plaster to look perfect, but plastering is something that takes a lot of practice to get it really right. You know, get a nice, like an 8-inch wide, about an 8-inch wide putty knife, you know, compound knife.
Yeah.
And you're going to want to, it's going to take a few times. You're not going to get it right the first or second time. It's going to take time to get that smooth finish. That is such a talent. You know, people that hang drywall and do all the plastering, it's like such an art. So the first time around, it's going to look, don't keep going over it and over it. You don't keep, you know, do it, close up your joints with the joint compound. I would use nylon mesh instead of paper.
Okay.
Okay, it's more solid for a big patch. So you're going to use your nylon mesh. Have you ever used that? It's like, you know what I'm talking about, as opposed to paper? No, you have no idea what I'm talking about.
No, I know what you mean.
You know, when drywall goes up and they paper the seams, it's like a drywall paper in a roll of tape.
Okay.
You know,
I'm sure I've seen it.
You've never seen a bare wall?
Mm.
No.
No.
Okay, well, do you know what drywall is?
Yeah, exactly. I know what drywall is, yeah.
Okay, well, drywall goes up in sheets.
Right.
And then there's a seam, and then there's another piece of drywall, and that seam needs to get closed up. So in order to do that, you put tape over it and joint compound. Okay, and
yeah.
then that joint compound is plastered smoothly, and it makes nice and smooth, nice smooth walls like a baby's butt. Okay, there's different types of tape that's used. There's a nylon mesh tape that looks just like nylon. It's a mesh, and it has a self adhesive to it. So when you put it up on the wall, it kind of sticks there. Paper tape is a little bit more difficult to work with because you have to apply the joint compound, and that's what makes it stick onto the wall. So just mastering the using paper tape is hard. So I'm telling you a way that's much easier. You use the nylon mesh, you just tape it over it, you use your knife to, you know, smooth it down, and it will adhere on its own. Then you use your joint compound. You go over it once, twice, you make your little rectangular. You smooth it out as much as you can, and then you leave it alone. It's going to look lumpy, bumpy. You're going to be like, this looks like garbage. Leave it alone. You come back after it's dried. It's going to take a few hours, or you come back the next day or later on that evening. You're going to make, you know, more passes over it. And then you're going to plaster the whole thing over it as smooth as you can. You put the knife at an angle to get it as smooth, you know, really press in there. Maybe one time you're going to want to go in one diagonal. And then when you come back, you go in the other diagonal. You see what I mean? So you fill in whatever grooves were left the first time around. You come back, you fill in the other way. And then you sand it down. And then you paint it. And then it'll look beautiful.
Do you use a belt sander, or do you have to do it by hand?
No. By hand.
Okay.
By hand. What else can I... What kind of paint do you have on your ceiling? Is it a flat paint?
Yeah, it's flat. There's a bucket the landlord left in the in the attic, so it's not going to be a problem to match it.
Right. If it's textured, try to figure out what texture it is. They have that spray kind of texture that you could put on it, and that spray stuff, you can adjust it so that it's heavier, or like an orange peel. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, I think the landlord just pretty much did a fast job. I don't think he was, you know, he was an old guy. He just painted it. You know, he didn't.
All right. So it was not going to be hard to match.
Right.
Or if it's sand paint, you just mix some sand into the paint. Or
yeah, I don't think it's that.
You don't think
no.
That's, all right. All right. But just for, you know, future reference or for other people to know this, if you do a patch on your wall and you try to paint right over it with a semi-gloss or any kind of paint that has a sheen to it, even an eggshell, you will see that patch. You will visually see that even though it's covered up with paint, there is something about the way the light will hit it. It's called flashing. It will flash in a way that you'll somehow that texture will look different than the rest of the wall. And that I don't know why chemically that happens, but when you do a patch, you must cover it first with a primer or a flat paint. Then you put your coat of paint that has a shine to it. Even if it's as little a shine as an eggshell. Eggshell is like one step up above flat. You will always call flashing. So that's like number one rule when you're doing a patch, just so y'all know that, a little insider information. So good luck with it.
I will let you know how it comes out.
Yeah, and protect your eyes when you're working above your face like that, especially.
Right. And falls
and
out.
Wear a mask when you're sanding.
My Halloween mask.
Yeah. All right, good luck with it.
Thanks.
If any questions, just call me. Hey, we have a caller on the line, Tina.
Hello.
Hi, Tina.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good.
Where are you from?
I'm from New York.
Where in New York?
Long Island in Copaig.
Long Island. Where in Long Island are you?
Suffolk County.
I went to school in Stony Brook.
Yeah, now this is Copaig.
Is that the North Shore?
It's the South Shore, actually.
Oh.
Yeah.
What's lovely.
See, yeah, I wanted to do a swing. I have a big swing set.
Yeah.
And I wanted to put something down on the bottom for my kid.
Right.
And I was thinking maybe it would be safe to do the tire mulch.
Right. Tire mulch is great.
Okay.
Tire mulch is great. I love the idea of recycling because those tires are just sitting around, just clogging up our earth. And so any time that anyone can use something that can be recycled like tires, I think that's a fantastic thing. But do you think that your kids are going to pick it up and throw it around?
Well, I don't know. I think if I did something like rocks, that maybe they would pick it up and throw it. That's where I was wondering what you suggest would be the best thing, because I have a pool nearby.
How far is the pool?
It's a couple feet away.
Oh, you know, I'm not sure I would want to put tire mulch, because that'll track. That'll, you know, just from walking around in it and walking from one place to another, that tire mulch will track around a little bit away from where it is centrally located, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
So if it's right near a pool, it might end up in the pool. A lot
yeah,
of the mulch.
It's an above ground pool.
Oh, it's above ground.
Yeah.
Oh, well, then that's probably not going to be a problem.
Okay.
But let's say it were another option besides the tire mulch. They sell. You ever see the those outdoor mats? They're like rubber mats that are interlocking.
Yes.
You've seen them at playgrounds. You've seen them maybe sometimes. Actually, we use them in an episode of Tool Belt Diva. We use them to make the to cover up a cement flooring in a garage.
Yes.
For a home gym.
Yeah, I seen that one.
You saw that. Well, they sell ones like that, you know, specifically for outdoors, and they're recycled material as well. I was at a Home and Garden show not that long ago, and I saw a great, I don't remember the name of the company, but they're definitely available out there, and that's what I think that would be ideal.
Okay,
they're easy to install.
Okay.
They're recycled material. You know, they're not, your kids aren't going to, you know, pick it up and toss it around. It's not going to track to different parts of your yard.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that would be the best option for you.
Okay, Okay, that sounds like a good idea.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for your help.
You're very welcome. Is there anything else?
No, I think that's about it.
All right, well, you enjoy.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thanks a lot. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Hey, everyone, I want to thank you for listening to Tool Belt Diva. And just remember, if you have any lingering projects around your house that you just can't seem to get done, I'm here to tell you, you don't have to wait anymore. Because with the right attitude and proper tools, you can do it yourself. I'm Norma Valley. I'll see you next week on Tool Belt Diva.
For years, home improvement shows have been geared towards guys. And I say, why should they have all the fun? Say goodbye to honey-do lists, because on my show, honey, you do it yourself.
Don't miss Tool Belt Diva, Friday at 9.
Oh, just watch my show, Capiche? Discovery Home Channel. Gotta watch it.
Discovery Home Channel is available 24 hours a day on digital cable and satellite. Call today and ask for Discovery Home Channel.